talk. I'm going to primarily talk to the women again. So I hope you don't feel that you get it from me and Andre now, right at the beginning. And then Andre is going to do a session where he's going to speak to the men. Okay, so we're going to give nice practical tips. And, you know, I also just want to say thanks, especially to the men who are here this morning. You know, a real man go to a marriage seminar. Because I would say 80% of the success of our marriage is because Andre is willing to learn. And he's willing to go to things like this. He's willing to read a book. Because the woman is more naturally motivated to read a book or to come to a seminar like this. Okay, this is the way God designed us. But I have a lot of respect for a man who's willing to be here this morning. I really have. Because most, if you ask a man how it's going with his marriage, he'll say it's great, awesome. If you talk to the woman, she says, oh no, it's you know, we actually struggling. So you get different messages. You know, so if you want to know how it's really going in a relationship, ask the woman. She will tell you a little bit more detail. The men always think it's all great. So thanks for being here. And as I say, we've attended many things like this in our lives, and I've just realized you can't actually get enough input on this. We work on our careers, and we study for masters and for doctors, and we do a lot of effort in our careers. But when it comes to our marriages, we do a little bit of effort before the time sometimes. But then after we get married, we think it's just going to be okay. And then we stop learning. And I've told the story on Wednesday as well, but it's just so funny to me. When my parents visited about like 2 months ago, my mom said, "Do you know, Sonika, those marriage courses that you and Andre do, I want to enroll both myself and your dad for that course." And then my dad said, yes, then he will teach Andre a few things. And then my mom said, but you see, this is exactly your problem. You think you know, but you don't. You know, and I can, and it was funny, but I could just, in a sense, I could see my mom's longing, you know, just for him to be a little bit more teachable, because he refused to read a married book. He just says he knows everything about marriage. And he's also kind of joking, but he's not really teachable in that area. And so thanks for being here. Okay, respect. I'm going to speak to the women. Respect is your husband's love language. And I know us women, we understand love languages. Hey? I want Andre must know what my love languages are, and he knows. You know that five love languages book. There's five love languages. We want our husbands to know. You know, they must know. I hope you all know your wife's love language. But so often when it comes to his love language, he also wants us to know what his love language are, love languages are, if there's, you know, more than one primary one. But often we think it's the same kind of a thing as we experience as a love language. And respect definitely is your husband's love language. So whatever we do, whatever we say, that is the foundation, that is the basis. And if we get it, if we just grasp it, it's going to make a huge difference in your relationship. And we're not perfect. Eh? I've made so many mistakes in our 10 years, even before that. Andre has made mistakes. But we're really trusting God every time, you know, when we mess up, you know, that we can go back and say, I'm sorry. You know, please forgive me. And we try to learn, and we try to be sensitive for each other, because we know a man and a woman are different. Okay, we start off by almost like a disadvantage in our relationship. Well, disadvantage. Because it's male-female communication, which is not, it's more difficult than just a female-female coffee date. Because we just talk and we understand each other, and the two men can, you know, pry or watch rugby and they understand each other. But now it's you know, so our starting point already is difficult. So we need to learn. It's a new language we need to learn. I want to read you something. A woman speaking, I'm sad that I have been married 22 years and just now understand the respect message. I wrote my husband 2 letters about why I respected him. Okay, not why I loved him, why I respected him. I'm amazed at how it has softened him in his response to me. I've prayed for years that my husband would speak me, would love me and speak my love language. But when I began to speak his language, then he responded with what I wanted. Very interesting. 22 years. She says she's so sad that she's only now experiencing that. When a wife flatly says, listen to this, when a wife flatly says that a husband will have to earn her respect before she gives him any, she leaves her husband in a lose-lose situation. Now he's responsible for both love and respect in the relationship. He must unconditionally love his wife and he must also earn her respect. Do you follow that? So if a husband must earn, hi, welcome, hi, Vladim. If a husband must earn his wife's respect, he's in a very difficult situation because now the Bible says he must love her unconditionally, but he must also now earn her respect. So he just kind of give up. You know, where must he get the energy now to do both? So we need to help him to communicate love to us by giving him respect. So I wanna challenge the woman or the women here this morning. You know, maybe you think, no, if I love my if I respect my husband unconditionally, it's gonna backfire. I guarantee you, Sonika, this thing is not gonna work in my marriage. And I'm gonna come to practical things, but I wanna challenge the woman, every woman here this morning, to go and write down. It's like a little test you're going to write. Write down a few things that you respect about your husband. Maybe you think, oh, I can't even think of one thing. Some women are actually at that point. I can't think of one thing. You know, when you start thinking, there's a lot of things. And I'm gonna help you this morning to identify things. Write it down. Make a nice dinner with your husband and make the food that he loves, not that you like. His favorite thing that he likes. And share it with him when you have his undivided attention and see what he does to him. Okay, so it's like a test. It's a little bit of a risk you're taking, but give it a try and see what he does to him. See how that's going to change his attitude towards you. So I'm going to talk about 6 different things. We call it CHARES. It's an acronym. How to spell respect to your husband. You're not probably going to be able to see all those things there. But I just want to go through that. His love, if he loves you, it's going to motivate you to respect. And if you respect him, it's going to motivate him to love you. So that is now not the crazy cycle, but the energizing cycle. So all of us need to get off the crazy cycle onto the energizing cycle. And it's not something that's going to happen once. You're going to get yourself very easily again into the crazy cycle, and then you need to get off again. Okay, and it takes one of the two parties to humble him or herself to get back onto the energizing cycle. Okay, you have to come to a point where you say, I'm willing to be the least. I'm willing to humble myself. Because if both are stubborn, you're stuck. And the crazy cycle, you're stuck there. So you have to be willing, either one of the two parties, who's maybe feeling in a more mature, better position at that very moment, to humble him or herself to get onto the crazy cycle. So how do we spell respect to a husband, practically? I'm going to go through an acronym called CHARES, because your husband likes to chair. Okay, he's the chairman. He's the chair of your house. He's the head of our homes. So that is why that has been chosen. So the first one, the C, stands for conquest. We're going to, after my teaching, we're going to give you all the practical things that we're going to give you on a sheet of paper. Okay, so if you want to make notes, you don't have to write down the practical ones. Conquest, appreciate his desire to work and to achieve. A man's identity is linked to what he does. much more than a woman's identity. I mean, a woman will, I mean, in today's world, we will also study and we'll pursue a career, but there will be a time, hopefully, where all of us will fall pregnant and become a mother, and, you know, just things are going to change. You're not necessarily going to work or do the exact same work for the rest of your life. A man is in a different position. He has to work until he dies. You know, that is who he is. What is funny about that now? A man's identity is linked to what he does. Okay, very important. If we imply that what he does is not important, we call him a loser. We imply that he is a loser. If we look at his job and we say, oh, well, what you do is not making any difference to anybody in any case, you call him a loser. So we need to be aware of that, that his work is actually very important. I mean, I have the privilege of working with Andre, so I see him in his working environment every day. And for me, it's just so great. You know, and I've said it before, but I think he's the coolest pastor I know, because he's very much an all-rounder. You get many pastors who would be very pastoral or very focused on evangelism or very focused on teaching. But I believe he's a very good all-rounder, which makes in my eyes him a very good pastor. He's good with technology, which I like, you know. He's not like, oh, now there's a problem with a computer, let's phone. Okay, we phone other people like plumbers and people like that. But when it comes to technology, you know, he's the man. He can sort it out, and I really like it. There's just so many things about him and his job that I appreciate and that I admire. And you know what? Sometimes we need to go to a husband's workplace. We need to see the admiration and the respect that they get there from their secretaries, from their colleagues, which is, it will be an eye-opener, I think, for many of us, just to see our husband operate in his workplace and see the respect that he gets. And we are proud of them, but we don't say it. We don't say it. We think, wow, it's great what he did. But we don't say it. And we need to verbalize our admiration. So we need to appreciate his desire to work and to achieve. So practical. We need to believe in our husbands. You know, if the whole world thinks he's great, he's awesome, but you don't think he's great and awesome, I mean, so what? And if the whole world thinks he's not great, you know, the whole world is against him, but he comes home and you tell him, I believe in you. You're going to do it. In my opinion, you're the best. You, the man. It's fine. If the whole world is against him, it's going to pull him through that dip that he experienced. So we need to believe. We need to believe in our husbands, even if they mess up, even if they make a mistake. Okay? And we need to believe in him regardless. We need to listen to his work stories as closely as you expect him to listen to yours, even if you don't understand. I mean, maybe you don't understand exactly what your husband does every day between 8 and 5. But you need, if he wants to talk about his work, allow him to do that. Allow him to dream. You know, I need to allow Andre to dream. I mess that up often, you know, because I'm a detailed, you know, think about all the, and I think maybe many women are like that. You know, we think about all the detail, and what about the finances and the consequences, and how do you think you're gonna make that happen in any case? And now he's just sharing his heart. He's just dreaming. He's just sharing his heart with his sweetheart. And now you're like crushing all his dreams about talking about the finances and the nitty gritty detail. And, you know, allow him to dream. And as I say, I make that mistake often. Sometimes Andre just wants to talk about what God is going to do. See, that's his job. He dreams about what God is going to do in his London. And I think, we don't have the people. We can't do all those things. We, you know, where do you think we're going to get the manpower to do that? And then I realize, He's not saying we're going to do it tomorrow, next week, or next month. He's dreaming. We need to allow the man in our lives to dream. Tell him how much you admire him for the work that he does. Okay, conquest. Next one, hierarchy. Appreciate his desire to protect and to provide. I want to take you to a scripture in Ephesians 5, 22 to 24. It's actually just a small bit that I want to highlight for you. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is also the head of the church, he himself being the savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. You know, your husband is the provider in the home. But we as a wife or as a woman, we need to allow them to be the provider. We need to look up to him in that area. And I'm going to explain it to you now. When we got married, Andre was still studying. I was busy with my articles at PricewaterhouseCoopers. We lived on my article salary for a year. That was a challenging year for us. And I knew that I had the power in my hand to crush him completely in this area. If I see it as my money, you know, the people in who worked with me, they said, Sonika, so how does this work now? Do you give Andre pocket money, or how does this work? They couldn't figure it out. Now I said to them, no, it's our money. Whatever I have is his. Whatever he has is mine. So my money is his money. Now they want to know, do I have a sister that, you know, that they can marry as well, because they like this kind of theory. You know, I had to make a choice in that stage of my life to honor him, because I knew, you know, praise God, it was really just God's grace for me to click that. But we just got a credit card, and we got a secondary credit card, and he could swipe it. It was, you know, as if everything, he had access to everything. And I would ask him permission, you know, I don't know, for me it wasn't strange, but I know some people see it as strange, but I would still ask him permission at that stage if I can buy something. Even though I was earning the money, but it was our money. It was very important that I had the power to either crush him and really make him feel stupid and disrespected, or I had the power to honor him and say, well, you make the decisions, you make the call in this area. I mean, I worked with a friend back in Cape Town, and she said to me, Sonika, I really want to go overseas with my husband, but he doesn't have the money. Because he's earning less than me, and he's paying off his study loan. So we're sitting now with this dilemma. What are we going to do? And I said to her, what? What? I can't believe what I'm hearing. And for them, it was literally her salary. She's earning more, her money. Her poor husband earns less. He has a study loan, shame. And now they can't go overseas together. And, I mean, I don't know how the finances is a whole... I can talk to you for an hour on that, you know, maybe even more, just on how to deal with your finances within marriage. And I believe all of you have something that works for you. But we have to honor our husband. I mean, we know about a couple, the wife also earns more than her husband. She just went and bought a car, a very nice car for herself, without even talking to her husband about it. Now, I mean, maybe she didn't even realize the effect that it's going to have on him, but now she comes there home with a nice car, and you know, she didn't even consult him, because it's her money. She earns a lot of money. She can buy herself a car if she wants to, and it communicates disrespect. It hurts your husband in a very, very deep way, and we need to be aware of that. When Andre and I were still dating, we would often drive with my car. Because I was already working at that stage, I think, when that specific car. And then his mom would say, Sonika, how can you allow Andre to drive your car? You know, she couldn't figure this out. You must drive your own car. How can you allow him to drive your car? It's just not working like that. So I've just realized that there's so many different opinions. And if we are not willing to honor our husbands in this area where they are the provider, it doesn't matter how much he earns. it's got nothing to do with your salary and his salary. I mean, we have lots of friends, especially back in Cape Town, where the woman earns more than the man. We have lots of friends like that. And you can either make or break him in this regard. So practically, never in word or body language put down his job or how much he makes. Never. And praise his commitment to provide for and protect you and the family. Very important. Okay, number three, authority. Appreciate his desire to serve and to lead. Now, this is the one where many women feel, oh my word, I knew it was coming sometime. This whole submission thing. But you know what? In our relationship, we really experience our relationship as we are a team. But every team needs a team leader. Okay, just see it in that way. You're a team. You are doing things together. You can give input as a woman, as a wife. But every team needs a team leader. I mean, you can't, if there's two team leaders. Imagine the Springbok rugby team and there are two captains. I know many of them pretend, or maybe on the field everybody's talking. But just imagine when there's a final call to be made. Now there's two captains on the field. It's just not going to work. Okay, so you're a team. You're doing it together. You win together. You lose together. You score together. But when it comes to the final call, okay, there's now a penalty. Are we going to kick or are we going to run? Okay, if everybody just does what he wants to do, it's going to be absolute chaos. Okay, I hope I'm not losing the girls now, but I'm assuming you all know a little bit about it. There must be a team leader. There must be a team leader, and that is your husband. Your husband's job, you know. We need to give him the authority to make the final call. And, I mean, we don't really have time to go into all detail about this morning. But I know many women feel, but, you know, I'm going to become a doormat. This whole submission thing is freaking women out because they are really worried that if they submit, if they allow their husband to lead, they're going to become a doormat. He's going to trample on them. But you know what I've experienced in my marriage, if I give Andre what he wants, if I submit to him and I give him respect, I get what I want. Okay? If I mean, I can't really remember any important thing that I really wanted that he said to me, no, sorry, I put my foot down. You're not going to get that. Because there's this relationship between us where he's the leader, he's making the final call, I actually can do whatever I want. It's funny. I want you to listen. Do you want to add something?
Just maybe just add there. It's just, ladies, it's how we are wired. It's like with Sonic and me, I never say no to almost anything. I can't think of anything I say no to because I know she respects me. I know she honors me. So I trust her with my life. So it's amazing how it works. We think submission, you're giving away control. You're not. You're actually positioning yourself for the blessing of God. It's a safe place when you position yourself in a place where you say, well, you decide. I mean, it's amazing how Sonika has honored me over the years. She has, in general, earned 3 to 4 times what I earned at the church.
Okay. And not anymore.
She's working with
me.
He's
the man.
I emailed the guys at the head office to say, thank you guys, for the first time in 10 years, I'm earning more than my wife. So that's good. But it was amazing how she honored me in that way, with the finances and as a person. And it, yes, ladies, you'll do anything for a woman that treats you like that. Anything. You know you can trust her with your life and you'll give her anything, do anything for her, because you know she has positioned you in a special place, a place of authority, a place of respect, a place of honor, and it just does something to us as men. It's the same way in the business world. If you have an employee, guys, working for you, if you know that person really respects you, honors you, submits to you, you're going to make space for them. That's how I operate. If I know I can trust somebody, I'll open the world for them. But if they're giving me grief and batting me and being disrespectful and giving me, then you're going to bat them back. That's how we work. That's how we men do. That's how I do it. And it's just something inside of you that wants to say no. I'm just going to say no because I'm just irritated. I'm frustrated. You want that dress? No. Because it's you like inside of you, you just then going to be difficult. But if you respect, you do anything. Okay, that's just some add there.
I know it's not easy. I've made many mistakes. Maybe you think I'm doing it all right. I don't. I often just say to God, Lord, please help me to honor Him. Please help me. I can't do it. We can't do it in our own strength. So take that burden off your shoulders. Don't feel condemned. I mean, I can give you many examples of how I disrespected Him. So it's not as if I'm perfect at all. But I often say to God, Lord, I can't do this. I can't respect Him in the way You want me to respect Him. Help me to honor Him. Often when I get this something in me, you know, because I think all women go through that stage where your husband is great, awesome, the man, and then a few things happen, especially at home, where you expect certain things of him and then it doesn't happen. Then he likes like fall off his pedestal, like slowly but surely. And then you come to a point where all of a sudden you don't respect Him in your heart. And then, you know, immediately when I come to that place, I realize I'm in a bad spot now. And I say, God, please help me. Please help me. I need You desperately to now not do things and say things that I'm going to regret. And sometimes I do and say things that I do regret. And then I have to go back to Him and say, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry. So it's not about perfection. Please, it's not about perfection. Nobody of us will ever get it right. I'm still going to make mistakes. Andreas is still going to make mistakes. It's fine. It's really fine. We're giving you tools. Please don't feel condemned. This is tools. And we're all learning and we all make mistakes. Okay, so please don't take it as glinness. Do you want to? Yes. Just wait for the microphone.
Not really a question more, but it's something that I think is also very important, and I agree with what you're saying, Andre, with respect and Sonic, with respect and love. But I think it's very important to also remember, especially in the area, like, you know, we talk about finances and communication, and that basically, you know, for marriage, it's all very well to say, yeah, you know, when I feel respect, I can do anything and I'll give anything. But there's got to be wisdom with that as well, and communication. Because if you're not communicating to each other just what is happening in your marriage with finances, because we've also got to remember that it's biblical and godly that we mustn't have debt and we mustn't have, you know what, so it's very important to, for you know, I just think of a situation with Vince and I, when, you know, when we lost our business and we went insolvent. And if Vince hadn't communicated that to me, just where we were in dire straits, and that, okay, so this is what's happened now. And for me to yeah, you know, it's a personal thing, but it's, we're very open about it. What I'm saying is you have to as a wife, be submissive in that area, and that love and respect then come out. It can't just be, okay, I love you so much, so you want something, have it. Because, do you know, and I think, so therefore you've got to, it's wisdom also,
yes.
You know, that comes with that,
yes.
Because, and that communication,
yeah.
And
yes.
Then that working together.
Yes.
So, yeah.
I think what Andre was trying to say, not if I can buy myself whatever I want. This is not what he's trying to say, but I can have whatever I want. Okay, and maybe I can just add something to the finances. I mean, I'm focused on finances because it was my background and what I studied. But I think it's very important that the woman knows what's going on in the finances. She doesn't need to run it. She doesn't need to. I think, in fact, it's important that the man takes responsibility for the finances. Not important. It is the right way. But I believe it's really important for the wife to know exactly. I'm not talking about like on the last cent or something, but she can't just spend assuming that there's lots of money. You can't. So you're not doing your wife a favor, leaving her the impression that everything is fine. I mean, I've heard about husbands committing suicide because they were too ashamed to tell their wife, listen, things are not going well. And she kept on spending like she did 5 years ago, assuming everything is fine. And he just felt more and more and more pressure. So I believe it's not a rule. I mean, this is just the way we operate. But I know exactly what's going on. So if anything happens and I need to take responsibility for a week or for a month or for 2 months of the finances, I can do it. And I think it's important that the wife, some wife, their salary will just go into their husband's or go into one account and they don't know anything. They just know, okay, I have 2,000 rand for groceries or 3,000 and that's it. She doesn't know anything. So I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I think it's important.
Maybe just to add as well, Sonic is very responsible with finances. So I can trust her. In general, when she asks for something, it's more like, you know, it's within the budget, it's fine, it can be handled. You know, so obviously if there's excessive spending, then there needs to be communication about it.
And obviously if you have a weakness in that area and you're just swiping credit cards, you know, your poor husband would have no choice by just taking your credit card away or something. Okay, so I think this is what Lynn is trying to say. There must be boundaries within this trust relationship. There must be boundaries. Okay, let's just get to the practical. I wanted to read you a scripture, but maybe you can just do that on your own if you want to. 1 Peter 3, 1 to 5. It's all about us women having a gentle and a quiet spirit. And I know that's also something, you know, who wants to be gentle and quiet if there's a job to be done? You know, sometimes women just feel, listen, so my husband's not going to do something, then I'm going to do it. And I don't feel like being gentle and quiet now. We need to learn. It's something God wants us to have. And it's something, if we don't operate in a gentle and a quiet way, we need to ask God to come and do it inside of us. You can try as hard as you want. It's not necessarily going to happen. We need the Lord, we need God to come and change us inside. But a gentle and a quiet spirit for me is just, you put your trust in the Lord. So you're not manipulating, you're not controlling, you're not scheming to get your husband to do what you want him to do in your timing and in your way. But you, in a gentle and a quiet, it's more like a trust. It's you put your trust in the Lord and you trust God for whatever you want. Does it make sense to you? So you let go of your timing, your way. So maybe when Andre and I got married, he was not the man that he's now. He changed a lot for the good. Really. I'm just so proud of him today for what he is. But I remember, for example, when in our first year of marriage, I mean, then you work through this whole thing about towels on the floor and, you know, socks everywhere and all those things. Well, most marriages work through that. Then I would say, what kind of example are you going to give to our children one day if you act like this? Then he tells me, Sonika, we don't even have children yet. So just Joel, okay? Just Joel. Then I think, no, but you must start practicing now to do the right thing. You know, and God just showed me, Sonika, just give him space, please. You're going to drive this man crazy. And I had to take it step by step, slowly, slowly. And I think he's an amazing dad for our boy. I mean, I'm so proud of him. But I was putting pressure on him 10 years ago already to now be the perfect dad and the perfect example. We need to give our husbands space to grow. We need to. And you need to make up your mind that even if this is never going to change, you're going to respect him. Okay, is that a difficult one? You need to make up your mind that even if this is never going to change in him, this is still the man I want. Because what we do is we compare husbands with other men, and we compare them with a strength in another man, and a strength in another man, and a strength, and we put together this perfect man. with what we observe from other men, and we wish, I wish Andre could be a little bit more like Stain in that area. God, could you please do that for me? Or, God, can you please just like be a little bit more like Kobus in that area? And now you're like picking from different men, a strength here and a strength there, and you expect your poor husband to be this perfect robot, you know? It's really unfair. So you need to make up your mind that you want to marry this man and be married to this man for the rest of your life, even if he never changes. And that is when you start putting your trust in the Lord, and that is when he starts changing. That's the key, to let go and to trust the Lord. Practical. Praise his good decisions. Be gracious if he makes bad decisions. Be gracious. Sometimes a man needs to make a mistake. He needs to make a call, makes a mistake. He learns from it far quicker than you telling him, you are going to make a mistake. I don't feel comfortable about this. I don't have peace. Allow him to make a mistake sometimes. It's good for them. It's good for them. Disagree with him only in private. This example Andre had about his parents. Disagree with him only in private. Don't fix his stories. If he's telling a story and, you know, you have a bri with people and now he's telling his story and you say, no, not 10 people, there were only 3 people. Allow him just to tell his story. You can tell him afterwards at home, you know, and you were actually like very exaggerating that story. It's not, so maybe just, you know, check your facts. But not there in front of all his buddies. Okay, so please be aware of that. We often do that, girls. We tend to do that. Allow him to lead. Treat him as the king, even if he does not act as the king. Treat him as the king. And take your frustrations and concerns to the Lord. There's many other things I can say, but I'm going to move on. Insight, that's the fourth one. Appreciate his desire to analyze and counsel. A man wants to fix something. Now you're crying and it's not going well and you don't even know exactly yourself why you're crying, and now your poor husband just wants to help. Now you say, but maybe you can just do that, or maybe you can just try that. Now you're crying even harder because he doesn't care about you. He just wants to fix the problem and move on with life. See, this is how we experience that. Andre is going to talk about the man's side, that he must be more sensitive. But sometimes we must just allow him to give us his good advice. Okay, we need to sometimes just allow him to do that. And we need a husband's logical advice and opinion. You know, and it's sometimes hard to swallow for ladies, but it wasn't Adam who got deceived in the garden originally. He was maybe passive. He was maybe disobedient. There were other things that can be said, you know, about Adam. But Eve got deceived. The serpent said to her, did God say that? And then she started thinking, oh, maybe God didn't mean what he said. Again, she got deceived. So a woman can easily get deceived. You know, sometimes I would be depressed, for nothing. Or for something I think is important, and then I would tell Andre, I feel depressed, and he tell me why, or asks me why, and then I say, for this reason. Then he say, but nonsense, that's not the truth. Where do you get that from? You know, then it's as if I snap out of it within a few seconds. Okay, and it can get me down for a couple of hours or a day where I feel depressed, and he tell me, Sonika, this is not the truth. This is not who you are. This is not what that person meant. It's not the truth. So we need that logical guidance from our husband. So allow him to do that. And don't always know better. Sometimes when it comes to children, we will ask our husband's opinion about the children, and then he would give his opinion, and then we say, oh, no, that's not going to work. And then you just do what you want. Allow him to give his opinion and follow his advice, you know. And it's obviously, I mean, if you're talking about something and come to a conclusion and in the end decide, okay, this is what we're going to do. But don't just, if he gives his opinion and now you just say, No, that's not going to work. I'll just, sorry for even asking you. Allow him to give his opinion. Okay, practically, thank him for his advice sometimes, you know, without acting insulted. Without acting insulted. Recognize his problem-solving approach as his male brand of empathy. That's the way they want to help. Seek his opinion in your areas of interest. Something that you know everything about. Or that you like. Ask his opinion. Ask his opinion. Make him feel like the man. Even if he doesn't know as much as you do. Okay, don't make him feel like when it comes to finances, when it comes to the detail of debits and credits, I know a lot more than Andre. But you know what? He's got a very, he's very responsible with money. He's got a very, very good way of dealing with something like a budget and something. You know, I really have a lot of respect for him when it comes to just the practical side of finances. So I can very easily make him feel, oh, you know, what do you know about accounting? It's not the point, you see. It's not the point. So don't try and tell your husband that in your area of interest or work environment that he doesn't know anything and you are so clever. Okay. Allow him to sometimes fix things and applaud his solutions. Wow, I never thought about that. Thanks. Relationship. I'm almost finished. Relationship, appreciate his desire for shoulder-to-shoulder friendship. Your husband must be your best friend. And as I said, guys connect when they watch rugby, when they bri, when they, you know, pass a ball. Men must always pass a ball. Us ladies, we connect over a cup of coffee, talking. But sometimes your husband just wants you to sit next to him, not talking. You know, especially when they run to the... when they want to score a try, you can't now start talking about the children. Okay, we pick if you watch rugby with him for that 2 hours, we need to like zip. We need to shut our mouths because we just need to be there, you know. And sometimes we need to get interested in our husband's hobbies. If he's a hunter or a fisherman or if he likes something, read up a little bit about it. You know, Andre is, one of his things that he likes is the whole creation evolution debate. Okay, it's not really my, you know, I wouldn't now sit for 2 hours and debate about, you know, God created in 6 days, fine, end of story, thank you. But, you know, Andre loves, and it's very important because many people are so confused. But now what I did, I read one book about it, and I attended one or two things with him where the creation ministries people will come and speak. And I just realized this is a field of, this is an exciting business, you know. This is an exciting field that interests him. But if I'm just every time, and you know, I need to work at that. It's also where I mess up a lot. You know, when he goes into arguments about why creation is right and evolution is not right, you know, then I think, oh Lord, how long is this going to be now? And I need to work at that because that is his passion. And I need to study a little bit for myself, and I at least need to know who Adam and Eve, their children, whom they got married to, okay? I at least need to know that answer. So just make an effort to climb sometimes in your husband's world of what is important to him. Okay, are you fun to be with, practically? Are you fun to be with? And I need to work on this as well. I tend to be way too serious for Andre sometimes. You know, he just wants to have fun, and now I am way too serious. Does your husband know that you like him? Not only love him, but like him? Give him space and just hang with him. Just hang with him. When he works in the garage, maybe he loves gardening, just hang with him. Very important. Then the last one, but not the least, sexuality. Very last one. Appreciate his desire for sexual intimacy. Now, this one's very important. Okay, Just as the devil, listen to this statement, just as the devil will do everything and anything he can to bring two people together sexually before marriage, he will do anything he can to keep them away from each other after marriage. I mean, how ridiculous can that be? But that's the truth. Eh? There's something about our sexuality that the devil gets us in a position before marriage, and then after marriage, you know, he gets us out of that place. And it's something that God designed, you know, that can either make or break, especially for a man, the marriage relationship. And I want to ask the women this, because we get emotional release by talking. Okay, you need your husband to talk to you. If he's never going to talk to you, it's going to be very hard for you. Now, if we get emotional release through talking, the man gets physical release through sexual intercourse. Now, if, say for example, your husband doesn't talk to you for 6 weeks or 3 months, okay? The same period of time that you in a sense, refuse to be sexual, have sexual intimacy with him. Imagine what that is going to do to you as a woman. Because in the same way that we need emotional release through talking to your husband, he needs the physical release. And it's very, very important. A man feels extremely disrespected if he needs to beg his wife. Okay, and I know this is like a little bit personal for all of us, but we have to say that, because we can't talk about what communicates respect to a man if we don't talk about this. It's extremely important, and often women feel that sex is a man's number one need, but it's actually just a reflection of a deeper need inside of him, that is respect. So we can either communicate disrespect or respect by the whole sexual thing in our relationship. So practically, I mean, Andre, you can add if you want to now. Respond to him sexually more often than you do currently. Okay? And initiate sex periodically for the girls. Initiate sex periodically just that he can get the message that you actually enjoy it, that you actually like doing that. It's very important. Understand that he needs sexual release just as you need emotional release. Communicate that you enjoy sexual intimacy. It's very important. A man, they don't like a coophus. Do the English people understand a coophus? It's terrible, you know. For the poor man, now you coophus and you all like, yeah, okay then. Let's just get it over with. I've just realized, you know, that we can really make or break your man in this area. And it's, and often this is also something, as in the same way as I say, God, please help me to honor him, I say to God, Lord, please help me to be excited about this. And it's awesome. I mean, after 10 years, it's really something that's still very, very special for us. And I just realized that, you know, in the same way that I have the power to make or break him in many areas, I have the power to make him feel special, to make him feel like the man and feel respected in this area if I honor him. So, yeah, do you want to add something?
Yeah, I think it's an area where a woman can absolutely destroy a man. You can completely emasculate your husband if he has to beg. And I know in counseling situations, I've worked with people, it's terrible for the husband when he has to, you know, I've know of marriages that, you know, the guys so then struggle with their confidence, they struggle with their identity, they struggle with who they are because they're not respected in this area. So ladies, take it seriously. You can bless your husband like few other areas if you honor him, respect him in this area, and tell him how amazing he is. Say, wow, look at those muscles, man. You're a strong guy, you know. It's so, you know, it's, as I said, you know, sex doesn't make a marriage, but if that doesn't work, it affects the marriage, you know. So So for a guy, that's very important. And in that sense, Sonika, before we were married, she read book after book after book about this. About
because I was so ignorant, I had to read something.
And she really made it a commitment, even before we were married, she said, but she wants to be a blessing. And I must say that that's really been special to us. It's really a special part of our lives. Okay, so what we're going to do now, we're going to give you an opportunity to chat to your partner. And I said, I know, ladies, this is a hectic session. I mean, it's like overload of lots of things. So don't try and do everything and change everything immediately. But if you could maybe highlight, and that's what we want you to chat now. If you could highlight, ask your husband now the one thing. They say five practical things under each section. If he can highlight the one thing that is important for him and for the two of you. So we want you just to maybe talk through those things. I know it might be a bit of a challenge for some of us, but it's really important to do this. And we weigh over time. Ons gaan baie stadig. We should have had tea time now. Are there any questions? Enige vraag? Any questions at this time? Nothing?
Sorry, thanks a lot. I'll try to do this in English again just for the type. I really agree with everything that Sonika shared, and I believe there's a lot of power in it, but from my point of view as a husband, as a man, is there must be honesty about it as well. And I've teased Anska about it a lot because she works with kids, and they just scratch something, and she'll go, that's the most beautiful flower I've ever seen, but it doesn't look like a flower. So I think there's a catch-22 as well. It must be honest from the wife. If she tells me that I've got the nicest legs in the world, but I don't, then it's not going to communicate respect. So we appreciate that, and I totally agree with everything that you said. It really, it is true. But if there's not honesty in it, and you just do it to try boost them,
No, definitely. My wife, if I've been gymming, she'd say, looks good, but yes, you may not be work there, so then. So no, honesty is definitely, you need to. And I guess that's what the relationship is about, you know, that you can also help one another to grow in certain areas. So that's a good point. Thanks for sharing that.
Sorry, and then just if you're honest, then it just puts that much value to the compliments that you give.
Definitely. Definitely. Anything else? Okay, then we're going to, if you can, you're welcome to move your chairs around the building if you want to, and just get a corner where the two of you can just chat for the next 10, 15 minutes.
Maybe just also say at least one or two things that she's doing great, okay, for the husbands now. Just take at least one or two things on that list and just say, you know what? That really blessed me because you're doing this right, and I appreciate that. Okay, first, before you say, please work on these two.
Okay, let's get a spot somewhere where you feel comfortable, and then we're going to do a coffee tea break.